I'm Sharon Leal and I work at the University of Portsmouth, and today I'm going to talk to you about deterrence of deception in an online context. This is funded by the EPSRC and I'm very grateful to them and to Ross Anderson, who's PI on this grant. So first of all, a little bit of background to this. Most of you, well, many of you will know that deception research to date has mainly been conducted in police contexts. So often we'll get people into to a lab and we'll say, put them into groups. So A, you tell the truth, B, you commit a crime, and then you go and see person C who interviews you about whether you're lying or telling the truth. Recently, however, there's been a call to investigate deception in other contexts, such as contexts that could be of use to in intelligence settings, security, and you know, so it's a bit more than just those normal police interview contexts. So part of the remit of this grant was to be able to deter deception in an online or socio like technical setting. So we're looking at this, whether or not we could achieve this. And I chose to do this in an insurance fraud context for two reasons. Firstly, insurance research into insurance fraud is quite rare. We believe it's because a lot of people don't care very much about it, but just because they don't like insurance companies. But it does actually cost the UK about £1.3 billion a year. And for us, it's also of interest because it's a way that we can study how well people can lie in a context where they have a shared ideological dislike of a group. So as some people might have a shared dislike of the West, for example, in our culture. So most people, in our experience, do not like or trust insurance companies. Apologies if there's anybody from insurance here, but it's true. So the aim of the current study was, can we deter people from lying online in this context, so when they're filling in insurance claim? So how did we do this? We wanted to look at, we've done some work before with an insurance fraud outsource group called Innovation Group. They're a global group that if you ring up and people don't believe you, they might pass your claim to this group who will ring up on behalf of the insurance company and investigate whether or not they believe you're committing a fraudulent claim. One of the things they do, they push for provide evidence that you own the item in the first place. If you've got receipts, can we find the receipts anywhere? So they push this an awful lot. They can ring Apple, for example, and check that you bought an item back in 2011 or whatever. So we wanted to see how effective this is, this instruction. So this was one of the things we were looking at. We were also very interested in the work of Dan Ariely, who spoke yesterday about if you ask people to be honest, to commit to before to be honest, will that make them more honest? Can we actually, does that deter people from deceit? And according to Cialdini as well, with the principles of persuasion, he also found that people, if you ask people to commit to something beforehand, they're more likely to see it through. So we were looking at that. Another thing we were interested in, which I don't believe has been studied, but I'm not aware of, is what do people do with order? If I'm looking at a source, I'm a source handler or something, and somebody's coming to me and they're listing things that they're telling me that happened at a meeting. If they're going to lie about something, where do they put it? The same thing as if you're lying about insurance items that you're claiming, where would you put that? For me, I thought, I perhaps wouldn't put it right at the beginning if I'm going to lie, because I want to gain a bit of trust first or judge how things are going. So we wanted to also look at the order, how where people put things, if there is anything in order at all, basically. So we had 96 participants. Looks a bit ridiculous after David's 6,000 and something, but there you go. We have to bring them in, and didn't do that online. 96 participants, 18 to 67 years old. They were a mixture of university staff and students. We had them read just a vignette vignette about a burglary in which 8 items were ostensibly stolen. You can see the items there, things that from a student's apartment, so things that students might have in their apartment. And their task, they were told that they had to at least make a claim for the 8 items stolen on behalf of the students. So as in real life, we gave them, if you were burgled, you wouldn't have evidence for every single thing that you owned that was taken. So we mixed this up, so we gave them different degrees of evidence that they actually owned the items. They had some that had receipt and photos, some had photos only, some receipt only, and some had no evidence at all that they owned them. So we gave these to the participants in a pack. It wasn't a test of memory, so they were told they could take all the list of the items and the cost in with them to make the claim. So they were given time to go. They went into a room. If they wanted to lie, they could Google, do anything they wanted to think about that. Normally, as I was saying, we normally say, you be in a group that lie, you be in a group that tells the truth. In this one, we left it totally up to the participants because we're looking at deterrence. So we wanted to see how that worked. So they were told it's completely up to them whether they lied or told the truth. But also in real life, there was incentive to lie financially, but also risk associated with that. So with prize money, a truth teller was told that they could earn a maximum of £55. If they just totally told the truth, they had to go in and say that they were claiming on behalf of these students because I had asked them to, so it was totally possible to be truthful. If a liar was convincing, they would be judged later on. They could earn £115 with prize money, but an unconvincing liar could only earn a maximum of 15. So they all went in, they decided themselves, it was completely up to them. They didn't have to tell me what they were doing either. For the provide evidence instructions, so they went into the booth, online claim, they were talked through it by an interviewer's voice, and everyone was asked, shortly I will ask you to individually describe each item you are claiming for, and please include the cost and condition of each item in your description. Everybody had that. With the provide evidence instruction, they had the, I don't know if my light's working, is that, oh yeah, they had the additional request of it's important that you provide evidence that the claimant actually owned the items. If you cannot do this, and explain as much detail as possible why no evidence of ownership exists. And for the honesty instruction, the group in that group, they had a statement to read out on screen. So in this case, it would be, hello, my name's Sharon Leal, and I state that the information I will give regarding the claim will be, to the best of my knowledge, totally truthful. So we divided when coding the responses. All responses were recorded automatically, and then we transcribed these afterwards. We divided the cost into the groups that we were saying about how much evidence they had, or whether they were asked if there was any cash that they needed to claim. So they were divided into those groups for analysis. We looked at cost in terms of padding claims. That's what they call it. If I had a Kindle that cost £100 and I said it was £150, that's padding. Adding claims. We looked at the cost of that, so if I said I had £50 of books on my Kindle that I didn't, that's a totally adding claim. And the total cash, so they had no cash missing in the vignette that were given, so if they added any cash, that was a lie. So we added all those up, and we also calculated the total claim cost in pounds. Regarding order, we looked at when the first lie was told, because we were interested about that, and also the number of lies that were told throughout the claim. So what happened during the process of the claim. So we hypothesized that participants who had the provide evidence instruction would be truthful about the items that they had receipts for, because it's the only part that they could provide evidence for, but we thought they probably would lie about, they'd make up the money by lying on the other items. We hoped that in accordance with previous research, that people with the honesty instruction would be more honest, be more inclined to be honest. They would lie less than the ones without this instruction. And regarding order, we thought as I'd mentioned, that most participants would not lie to the first item. The majority wouldn't. And we thought as they got through the claim, the number of lies would increase through them. So we used an honesty, a yes or not, instruction there or not, times evidence, yes or no, independent design. And we used polynomial tests for trend. I'm glad I got that word right, I hope. It's not one of those awful words. So what did we find? So the first hypothesis, provide evidence. Indeed, we did find that participants in this condition, they didn't lie to the receipts so much, but they did add other items. So they did seem to compensate on the items. I think because if they had no they didn't have evidence anyway, they couldn't do it. So they thought, I might as well just lie on this, lie on the others. But they indeed, they did lie less when they had receipts. Honesty, we had predicted that they would lie less overall. You can see there's some varying significance on the different ones, but yes, overall that was supported in that people that had the honesty instruction did lie less than those in the other groups. And order. back in the room. So order, the majority of participants didn't lie to the first item, and we also found that there was an increasing trend of increasing amount of lies as it went through. So there was a linear trend. Incidentally, no other trends were significant, so it was just the linear, nothing else. Am I right for time still? Okay. So we found that being honest worked better at deterring lies in this online context than asking to be honest, than provide evidence. So it's a small instruction, but it does seem to be quite powerful. This supports the work of Dan Ariely and Cialdini, what they found before. It was largely supported. People did still lie, but they lied less. Another thing that we were thinking, another reason for this, is that it's self-esteem. If you think that by saying you're an honest person, then perhaps you feel like you want to be that little bit more honest. And there's a study back in the 70s by Miller who did something similar with children. They gave them either an order to do not litter, or they told them that they were actually litter conscious people. So, you know, you don't like to litter because you're really litter conscious. And then what they did was they checked how much litter they picked up and put in the bin. At first, when the posters were up, do not litter, they didn't. Both groups were the same. But then weeks on, only the group that had the instruction that you're a litter conscious person, they still didn't litter as much, but the other group just went back to normal. So again, it's kind of showing this self-esteem, this honest person or good person, I'm a good person, works better than just telling people what to do. The participants that were aware of order reported in debriefs and that they were they did feel that they would wanted to gain a bit of trust first. They all reported they found it more difficult actually talking to a machine than a face-to-face as well, because they said they weren't getting the feedback whether or not that, you know, somebody's buying their lie or not. But so they did that. They used the receipts first, would have been one of the things, or told the truth first. So, or tried to do a mixture of lie and truths throughout as it went on. As for implications, we were wondering whether insurance claimed they should do it. As Dan said yesterday, it's been shown to work, so why aren't people using it just to ask people to state that they're going to be honest? Be nice to see whether it does work in face-to-face situations as well, before face-to-face interviews, maybe in job interviews, you know, when people come in and they say, I was a ski instructor in St. Moritz and they've never skied in their life, you know, things like that. If you give them on their CVs, if you give them this honesty instruction, would they lie less? In boosting employee loyalty, perhaps, for companies that, like Samsung or something, where it's important to keep secrets. Would honesty, if you mix that instruction with rapport, that might be another possible future research. And also looking at whether order works in lying, truth in police reports. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.